Tony Tennille. Is it kind of bittersweet to hear that version of Love Will Keep Us Together because you're singing live with Neil Sedaka?
No, it's wonderful. I sang often with Neil over the years. We ended up on the same shows, you know, as guests, and our voices always blended really well. We just had different styles in the way we did the music. But I loved that man. He was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And he came to visit me here in Prescott, Arizona, where I live now. And he came up with his best friend who brought him up here. He came over to my house. Well, I took him out to dinner, to lunch at a really, really lovely restaurant here in Prescott. And then he said, well, I want to go to your house and play your piano. So the first thing I thought of was my house is very modest. And I hope I cleaned it because I didn't expect him to come, but he did. And he had a wonderful time and we talked a lot. And then we've talked on the phone quite a bit. You know, it's interesting because bless Neil's heart. He, you know, I had my first hit, Love Will Keep Us Together. Our first hit, hit number one in 1975. I was 35 years old. That's when my career started. When Neil started having hits, he was 16 or 17, so he didn't know me from Adam. You know, we didn't really meet until Love Will Keep Us Together started climbing the charts.
Well, how was it that song fell into your hands, Love Will Keep Us Together? It was something he wrote, ultimately produced,
yes.
Right? So how was it that
that's... Howie Greenfield.
Explain the story.
Okay. He and his partner, Howie Greenfield, from the Brill Building days. Howie wrote most of the lyrics, and Neil wrote the music. That's the way they worked together, and occasionally they would crisscross, but most of the time that's the way it was. So Howie lived in Beverly Hills here. I mean, I'm saying here, I'm in Arizona, but he was in California. And then Neil was in New York. You know, that was his home, and that's where he wanted to be. And I visited his place once while I was there. I can't remember what I was doing. And it was huge. He had this entire floor of a skyscraper, and he had taken four or five apartments and blended them together. And I was just stunned at this beautiful place because I've always lived kind of modestly. You know, Daryl and I have. We did. And I am right now. but anyway... He was a dear, and we talked from time to time. And when I had my memoir out, he called me, and we talked about stuff. But going back to how I found out about Love Will Keep Us Together. So we were with A&M Records then, and we had just signed, and we had just about finished our first album. And they called me, and the A&R guy said, come listen to this song by Neil Sedaka. It's on his Sedaka's Back album in England, because that's where he was at the time. I never met him. And I went, oh, my God. Daryl and I both listened to it. And we said, yeah, that's it. That's a song for us. So with that, we went into the studio and recorded it. And I, you know, the thing is, we were lucky because at that time, tell me to shut up if you want to, because I'll keep talking. At that time, every radio station, and I think WGN too, had their own music directors.
Yes.
And they're the ones that chose the songs to put on the playlist. And, it was an unusual way to do things. And back in those days, I think kind of odd things were happening with how people got on the top. But the main thing is, the charts at that time were very ballad heavy, which was great for us because we had an up-tempo. If it had been the other way around and we had had a ballad and they were full of up-tempos, you know, then we wouldn't have had the chance.
But Tony, there is something about that song. First of all, up Grammy Award Record of the Year, 1976, Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Performance by a Duo, Group, or Chorus, 1976. Yeah. Song reached number one, of course, on Billboard, sold millions of copies. And in fact, this is a fact, of all of Neil Sedaka's songs, and that is a Neil Sedaka song, That sold more than any other song. And at the end of the song, there is something that people might not notice. Give it a listen here, Tony, and you tell
me. Okay, I know what's coming. Yep.
So for those who didn't hear it, you sang Sadaka Is Back.
Sadaka Is Back.
Song, yeah. Was that an ad lib? How does that happen?
Yeah, it was. We ran it through, you know, my sisters were singing on it as background. And we ran it through for the sound engineer to get everything all tuned up. And then at the end, the first time we ran it through, I said, Sadaka Is Back. And they went, yeah, that's great. Let's put that in on the song. So that's what we did. Because he deserved it. My God, from the time he was a teenager, he was writing hits. And, you know, and he had this wonderful voice, and he knew how to write a hook, and he knew how to write some of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. My favorite thing that I did with him, and I can't even remember what the show was that we were on together, but we did a medley of his songs. He was at the piano, and I was standing, and we sang The Hungry Years together. And that meant a lot to me because I don't know if you know that song. It's very special. I miss the hungry years that once upon a time, the lovely long ago, we didn't have a dime. The days of me and you, we lost along the way. And it's like talking about back when you were struggling, which Daryl and I certainly was, you know, we were playing in clubs and doing all sorts of stuff trying to get our foot in the door. And Neil, he was in the Brill Building with all those fabulous singers and writers and stuff, so he had people he was working with.
And let's talk.
And he was young. He just had the gift.
Let's talk about that Brill Building. You mentioned it several times. Carol was a song that was a big hit for him. It was about Carole King, who worked
in
the Brill Building with Jerry Goffin. I think Bacharach and David spent some time there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, any songwriter duo, Paul Simon. I mean, all of these amazing, incredible people, and he started so young. What was he like as a person?
Who, Neil?
Yeah.
Today? Because the last time I saw him was in July when his friend Bill brought him up here to see me. It was surprising to me because I hadn't seen him in person in quite a while. And I chose this lovely restaurant that we adore here called El Gato Azul. And when he came in, I was near the front door because I wanted to make sure he, you know, they found it because it's a little tricky to find it. He was in a wheelchair. And they went, oh, my God, that's Neil. You know, and I was shocked. And I hit it. I was, oh, I'm so happy to see you. And we had a special table set aside where we could talk. He's a very loving man. Who is, as Bill told me later on, Neil was always afraid of being alone. He was afraid of being alone. And I don't know what that's like because I have a lot of friends, but they're not famous people. They're regular people that live here in Prescott. And, but that's the way I like to live my life. But Neil, you know, everybody knew him and loved him and I don't know. I felt the sadness there.
Yeah.
And I felt the joy that he enjoyed so much playing the piano. And we sang together a little bit and we took pictures. And, you know, I wasn't dressed up at all. He wasn't either. So it was really
nice.
Not to have to look great and have your hair done and the makeup on or anything like that. It was just a regular thing.
All right. Tony, I want you to give this a listen and this will sound familiar to you, I think.
Okay. Building castles in the air. Oh, God, I'm getting chills hearing that. Oh, that's me.
That's you.
That's when we did it on the TV show. I can't even remember what the show was. You wanted was everything we had. That's the line. Everything we wanted was everything we had. That lovely long ago.
So you know what we did, Tony, you and I here?
What?
I'm getting text after text. I'm crying. But this is the sweetest, sweetest moment. But now, because it's radio, we have to pause. We'll be right back on WGN. I know, with Tony Tennille. Tony Tennille is here on WGN. And now, Tony, I'm going to ask you about a hit song about rodents making love. Tell me the background about that.
Well, it was written by a guy from Texas named Willis Allen Ramsey, who I've never met. And it was called Muskrat Candlelight, I think, when he released it as a single. And, you know, it never really did anything. It was just there. But Daryl and I were on our way to the club we were working in at the time, the Smokehouse. And we'd always listen on the radio to see what the, you know, current hits were, because we would cover some of them when we were doing our gigs in the clubs. And we're listening along, and I hear this Muskrat Candlelight. And I said, well, that, Daryl, I think this is a song about muskrats in love. I said, let's go check it out. Well, yeah, so the next day, we went to one of the music stores, and at that time, they still had sheet music.
Uh-huh.
And I looked through, and there was Muskrat Love. And I started reading the lyrics, and I laughed out loud. I said, let's work this up and do it in the club and see what happens. So we worked it up, and Daryl, you know, had that little weird muskrat sound that he did on it with the synthesizer. And we did it in the club, and people went nuts. I had to stop it. I said, I'm only going to sing this twice a night. And we didn't take tips. So they would come up and offer us big tips, you know, come on, I want you to play Muskrat Love. No. So the next thing that happened to Muskrat Love was when, you know, we were invited to the White House to perform with Bob Hope for President and Mrs. Ford. It was the bicentennial of the country. And, you know, at that time, we only had two hits. One, number one, Do That to Me, No, it was Love Keeps Together. And then the one I wrote, The Way I Want to Touch You, which I think it went top five or something. But anyway, so I thought, I'm not sure The Way I Want to Touch You is appropriate for the White House. And I said, and maybe do that, maybe the muskrats. I said, you know, it's the White House. We're in the East Room, which is gone now. But anyway,
yep.
And so we were having our sound check, and Mrs. Ford came in, and I'll never forget, she was so beautiful. She was in a yellow linen spring suit, and she looked gorgeous. And she came in and looked around, and she said, let me talk to you. As I went over, I said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And she says, what are you going to play? And I said, well, you know, we're going to do Love Will Keep Us Together, and I'm not sure. And she said, aren't you going to play The Way I Want to Touch You? And I said, no, we hadn't planned to do that. And she said, oh, you must. That's mine and Jerry's favorite song.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
And you did it.
We did. This is a hip White House. So I did that. No, that didn't cause any problems. But then I also said to the band, you know, we were making up our, we only going to do about five tunes. And I said, well, okay, you know, Muskrat Love was so popular in the clubs that we worked in. Why don't we do it? This is just a regular, these are just regular people. No, they weren't. But anyway, at the time I thought they were. So we were in the East Room, and it's rather small. It was rather small. And it was really, and it had a stage that's only like 4 feet off the ground. And it was really there mostly for like a jazz trio or, you know, an opera singer with a piano accompaniment. It wasn't for the sound that we had with all the speakers and everything. But anyway, so far, so good. We were going to close with Love Will Keep Us Together. So we started Muskrat Love, and I was playing the electric piano, and Daryl was playing all the synthesizers, and that we had our whole regular band. The front row where we were was no further than 8 feet from us, 7 feet maybe from where I was at the keyboard. And in that front row was Henry Kissinger and his wife, Nancy, and the President and Mrs. Ford and Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip.
What?
And the President, yeah, and the Prime Minister of England at the time, and his wife, I don't remember his name because I didn't know him, and a few other celebrities, but right straight in front of me was Henry Kissinger. So when we started and I started singing Muskrat Love. He looked like he wanted to be anywhere but where he was. And he turned around to whoever it was behind him like, what is this? Get me out of here. And he was kind of whispering to his wife, and I thought, I got flop sweat. I thought, uh-oh. And then when Daryl started playing the muskrat sounds that he put on the recording, you know, the little da-da-da-da-da, little sound, Henry wanted to be anywhere but where he was. So we wrapped it up, and, the queen and the prince and all those other people, they loved it. They were very happy. Henry, he left immediately. And I knew he hated it, and I thought, oh, my God. Well, anyway, so other than that, it was a lovely experience. I got to dance with the president, and he was as bad a dancer as I was.
Well, Tony, I've got terrible news for you. We are more than out of time. We have a whole list
of... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, we have all these callers that want to talk to you. If you will come back with us another time, I would be honored.
Really? I'm retired, you know. I just live in a... But I'm active all the time, and I don't have dogs anymore. I'll make this really short. My last Australian Shepherd died in May. I showed them and ran them in agility all around the country. That was really fun.
Well,
and now
I
have two...
I'm going to have to run and do an agility course for my boss to chase me if I don't go to the newsroom.
Okay, all right.
But thank you, Tony. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, all right. Sounds good.